Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. On the first Sunday of each month, I stop our study of whatever book we are in order to look at communion. And I try to find something that will enrich our understanding of how we celebrate communion and what it means. And there is a sanitized version of communion that we have in church, but we don't pay attention to the details of what happened on that Passover night 2,000 years ago, in which Jesus and his disciples got together for what they had no idea was their last Passover. Think about it. By the next Friday evening, they were behind locked doors. And we all know what standard preaching gives us. Jesus takes the bread, he breaks it. It was not bread. It was Passover unleavened bread. So if you ever see a loaf symbolizing Passover, forget it. That had yeast in it. There was no yeast. It was tortillas, except made out of wheat instead of corn. It was. It was a nice piece of flat bread, quickly over fire, no yeast. That's good. I'm making myself hungry. Yeah. And, by the way, they had a meal. It isn't. I've often told you about Moshe Rosen, founder of Jews for Jesus. They invited him to his first Lord's Supper, so he goes there thinking they're going to have a meal. And he gets a little thimble and a little tiny piece of whatever that is. That's what you get this morning. We don't celebrate a meal, but they did. And the Jewish Passover becomes our Lord's Supper, but we don't serve supper anymore. He serves the wine, 4 cups of wine. That's why the disciples went to sleep on Jesus in the garden. They weren't drunk, but wine has a depressant effect on the nervous system. They fell asleep. But before they got to the Garden of Eden, as Jesus was instructing them symbolically with the wine and the bread on his body and his blood that was going to be sacrificed for us, it's very interesting that on that night, right after they pass out the symbols like we're going to do, although they had a meal with it, something happens that I think we all need to look at, because it's part of the communion that night. Jesus says in verse 20, this is the cup, this is the bread. Verse 19, this is the cup. And after he has communion, immediately after communion, look what it says happened with these people. And there arose a dispute in verse 24 of Luke chapter 22 among them as to which one was to be regarded as the greatest. You know, we get this sanitized version from preachers. The ushers march down. Everybody thinks there was nothing but order on that first communion. And what you have is these crazy disciples have no grasp of what's about to happen. And they start fighting about who's going to be the vice president and the secretary of state in the kingdom. And I love the way Jesus does this. He was never a harsh man. As this fight is going on at communion of who's going to be the greatest, Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. But let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest. I hate to tell you this, kids, but they had no respect for the youth. In Jewish culture, until you were 30 years of age, nobody gave you any respect. Because the Jews believed that only through experience of life did you warrant respect. And 30 was the minimum age. Guess what? How old was Jesus when he began his ministry? Do you know why he waited till he was 30? No one would have respected him. Even though he could have, no one would have respected him. For whoever is greater, who is greater, the one who reclines or the one who serves? So, let me ask you this. Communion teaches us not only of the sacrifice of Christ, but who's greater? The one who eats or the one who serves in Jesus' eyes? You know what really embarrasses me? Is Christians go from communion to a restaurant and then treat those precious waitresses horribly. It happened in Alabama. We had a service, and then this precious waitress that this couple invited us to go with them. And the first thing they did was treat that waitress as if she was an indentured servant and treated her terribly. I was embarrassed. So what does communion teach us? Not only of what Jesus did for us, but Jesus said, the greatest of you shall be a what? Servant. Next time you see a waitress, my daughter Sarah is now waitressing. She hates it. Why? Because of the way people treat. Part of the communion message is Jesus gave us an example. He died in our place. He served us by being a sacrifice for sin. Now he's telling us, walk by my example, and the greatest of you shall be a what? Servant. And you who are those who have stood with me in my trials, just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant that you may eat and drink with me at my table. I can guarantee you one thing. If today you eat communion and tomorrow the world goes into war, there will be a future communion. Because Jesus will establish his kingdom. And Jesus said, there will be a future communion at my kingdom where we will sit down, and guess what we'll do at that communion? We will eat. We will not be stingy with you and give you a little cup of flavored juice and an eatsy-weetsy pit of bread. Jesus said that they're going to eat at my table, and you will sit on thrones judging, he told the disciples. But before you sit on thrones judging, what did Jesus say? What qualifies you to be a judge or a leader? A servant. And then you know what Jesus did? After that bitter argument among the disciples, teaching them that they were going to first have to serve before they would judge. You know what he did in John 13 right after this? He got a bowl and he washed their feet. So when you take communion this morning, not only did Jesus cleanse us from sin, but he also left us an example of being kind and loving and gentle servants because of what he did for us, serving us in delivering us from sin.